Good afternoon. If everyone could take their seat, we'd like to welcome you all to Mesa City Council Study Session, Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. Joining us by phone, I assume, is Councilmember Alex Fenter. Councilmember Fenter, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mayor, I am.
Okay, good. We have everyone then. First item on our agenda is to review the agenda for July 1st, this evening's. Let's start with page 2. You have an item, Councilmember Higgins?
Oh. Excuse me, Mayor. This is time to ask some questions since these are on consent, or is this just reviewing the agenda?
This is just reviewing the agenda. If you'd like some additional information on an item that's on there, then yeah, you can. Now's the time to ask.
Great.
Okay.
I have a question on 5A.
5 Alpha?
5 Alpha, which is okay. The gas meters. Got a gas meter. I mean, you came. I should ask you a question, otherwise it's a wasted trip, you know? I just, reading that, we use 400 meters a month for a total of 4,800 meters a year. And it said for new homes and some replacements, do we really use that many? I didn't think we were putting in that quantity of houses on a regular basis.
Mayor, Council, Mike, but we remember that the gas utility covers more than the city of Mesa. It's also down in Pinal County. So,
okay.
I don't know, Mike, you want to, your current experiences, what does it look like today?
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, we do use that amount. We not only replace meters throughout the system that have aged, we also put in new meters in Queen Creek magma system and in the city. So it is the number that we use.
So it's a much wider range than just the city. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers?
On that item, I read that these are going to have you're going to be able to read these from the street. Are we going to be replacing some of the older meters as well?
That is correct. They are being set up to be able to use automated meter reading.
This is something that we've been working on for quite some time. It's going to save us some money in the long run, particularly with personnel hours and having to walk door to door to read them. Instead, we'll be able to drive by and pick up the signal, and it will be a more accurate building as well. So we'll be bringing in accurate revenue as opposed to some of the misreads that tend to be low. So we should see revenue benefit as well.
Mayor, if I could just interrupt for a minute. They'll have the ability to read. We're still working on developing a long-term master plan
right. To
do that.
Right. It's working its way through the process.
Vice Mayor?
Oh, while we're discussing it, then we'll just throw out, too, part of this meter replacement program is as meters get older, they register slower. And having been a lucky one a number of years ago to have my meter replaced, my bill went up quite dramatically. Because the consumption reflected what I was really using. And so it's important that we do replace those meters on a regular basis. And so with the replacement, the new ones that have the capability of being read remotely, and with magma growing as it is, it's a considerable job to change all these meters, but it's very much needed.
My meter's good.
Council member, thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Okay. Anything else? Meter readers... Lovely reader.
Next
meter
item.
Reader.
Next item.
Councilmember Higgins, you have another question.
On 5B.
5 Bravo.
Which is the procurement of corporate apparel. Oh, he's coming back. My question is, how many people in the city are actually use uniforms? And is that uniform, is it an allowance in their salary? Is that taxable income like it is at other companies? How does that work?
Mayor, council member, I don't have the number of employees with me, but I can get it before we go upstairs.
Okay.
And this is, the city purchases these uniforms and issues them to the employee. This is not an allowance situation.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And does not include, as I remember, police and fire have a different program. This is for parks and other...
That's right.
Utilities, so this is for non-public safety.
Correct. It is typically employees that are out in the right-of-way, and so a lot of it relates to their own safety and the colors. It's the bright oranges, the blues, and the different colors. So that's the purpose of that, yes. When the old logo wears out, they can have the new logo and not until they wear it out.
Good. All right. Page 2. Page 3. Councilmember Higgins.
On 5E, where part of this project is installing the new ADA compliant ramps into our streets. I just wondered if we know exactly what the but currently our corners have ramps, ADA ramps. Now the ADA has changed the requirement, and we are required to put in these new truncated domes, which are those yellow things that everybody sees. So that's a new ADA requirement. I just wondered, that's one of those unfunded federal mandates. And what is it real cost going to be to the city just for that, do we know? You know, ish, big number. I mean, round, soft.
I don't have that, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, I don't have that number off the top of my head. I can get you costs on our current projects that are underway right now. We have, this will be our fourth overlay reconstruct project this spring, so I can get you numbers on those projects if you'd like.
But this is, Mayor, this is my concern is where, you know, over the years we have updated our streets and our sidewalks to become ADA compliant, then the ADA 2 years later changes it and we're required by law to go back in, and this is one of those pet peeves where we have all these unfunded federal mandates when they keep changing what they want to see.
Yeah, I know I've had some questions from people as they see specific ADA, they go, those look perfectly fine. Why are we out there tearing up our sidewalks? Well, if it were our choice, we thought they were just fine too. Unfortunately, somebody in Washington thought that
differently,
thought better, and sent us down the edict, and a check didn't follow, as I remember.
Actually, Mayor and Councilmember Higgins, the current ADA requirements for truncated domes came in, and I believe in 2003, so about 5 years ago. And the way we approach this is when we go into an area and make repairs, then we upgrade the ramps. So we aren't really on a program out to replace every ramp in the city. It's just when we go in and do overlays and reconstructs, and that's in compliance. So,
and just so everyone, those truncated domes are those little bumpy things that are on the bottom, the well or the bottom of the ramp.
I have a
ramp.
Picture that I could put up on the...
I think everyone knows as they walk through it what those are.
So they can trip on them.
So they can trip on them,
and actually, they are really being put in place for the visually impaired to know that they are going down the ramp, and before they hit the edge of the curb that they're there at the bottom of the ramp.
So. Yeah, it's interesting because we were talking, or I was talking to someone, and somebody in a wheelchair was voicing their displeasure because somebody in a wheelchair, that makes for a very uncomfortable ride when they go down there. It's like going over speed walker goes over speed bumps. So, you know, I guess we can't make it right for everybody. Do the best we can.
Mayor and Councilmember Higgins, if I could get a little clarification. Are you looking for the unit cost for a particular location or the need throughout Mesa?
Yeah.
So we could look into that.
More like what is this new requirement costing the city?
Okay.
Now, you know, we didn't have anything. Right. It'd be different, but, you know, the requirement changed. Now we have to get something new. And, you know, what's the expected life? Do you think in another 5 years someone will come up with something else and we'll be replacing them again? It's just... One of those things.
Well, it might be nice that if we know what we're spending to comply with certain federal mandates, so that when we make various requests for some of our own money to come back to, maybe we can. Yeah, I'm dreaming now again, aren't I?
and that's one of those things, though. I mean, I think if we do know how much some of these things, if there's ever that day that the mayor's speaking of where we can actually say to the federal government, you know, this is what it costs our City of Mesa this year to apply or comply with all your mandates. I think maybe if more cities did that, they might think differently about keep changing stuff every few years. Who knows? Thank you very much.
I love an eternal optimist. Thank you.
Mayor, now that we've had a thorough discussion on 5E, we're going to actually ask this one to be postponed off of this agenda and continue to July 8th.
Okay, so item 5E, 5 Echo, is going to on the July 8th.
Yeah, and really just has nothing to do with all the information you just received. We just want to be clear to the public that this is actually coming out of district number 3.
Okay.
We're just trying to be error on the side of
caution.
Thank you.
Yeah. He did a great job. That's not going to be a problem.
Unless you annex into Dobson Ranch.
July 8th is the last council meeting for a month.
Right.
That's not going to be a problem waiting.
No, and we figured 1 week delay is not going to hurt us. So.
Oh, this is an introduction. This is
this is actually a contract.
Okay, Councilmember Higgins, 6A.
6A, Mayor, I'm concerned if you flip back to the actual verbiage in the packet. I have two concerns. One is under the fire, police and fire department. There is a sentence that says the closest fire department is 700, I'm sorry, fire hydrant is 700 feet away, which may cause a problem during firefighting activities. We are annexing a property with that statement in there, so my concern is, you know, how are we going to address this and who's going to pay for it?
Mayor, if I may, Councilmember Higgins, we heard that concern and went back and did additional check this afternoon. Since the time we started the process on this application and today, there's been development across the street, and based on that development, they were required to put in a fire hydrant. So there is now a fire hydrant actually just right across the street from this property.
So then are we going to amend this to say a firefighter is now 20 feet away from the site? Because I just think if this is like the verbiage that's in there, someone may be able to come back and say, hey, you said it was no water available. Yeah, I don't want to get sued for something we said when we knew better information. That's all.
You can amend this.
Okay.
And then the other thing was underneath the engineering department, it just says, you know, the existing streets do not meet Mesa's current standards. And I guess, and the other thing was the fire apparatus should be supported by that road. And those kind of words, I know, it was would appear to support fire apparatus. You know, that's just not concrete enough for me when I'm annexing
something. No, they're asphalt, they're not concrete. You did.
But you know, the word would appear, you know, does it or doesn't it? Yeah, it appears like it the first time it goes over.
I have
over,
a more
yeah.
basic question, and I don't think now's the time or place to go into this basic question, but it seems, I've seen now a couple, three of these single lot, dual lot kind of annexations, and I understand the idea of a property owner requesting annexation into the city so they can receive city services. I know this is a policy that was established prior, and that's why I don't think that in this time frame that it's the place to. But I'd like to have Mr. Brady some sort of discussion going forward, as so we can understand. Certainly, I can understand better really why this is in our best interest to take these orphan lots almost within a county period where we take one lot, two lot, three lots. So I can better understand why sure. we're doing this on an ongoing basis.
Be glad to do that. I just, council may note, though, that this is an area that's currently using city water, but not is currently on septic tanks. So this would actually bring them onto city sewer. So I think there is kind of a consideration that there are some benefits to doing that. But we can have that discussion and on a whole variety of annexation issues with the
Yeah, because and what time frame does it bring them onto city sewer? I mean,
yeah, we can
I don't think we're going to run a sewer line down there to serve one house.
Right.
And so I just so I can understand that
sure.
a little bit better if we could do that. You want to leave it on, Councilmember Higgins, or
excuse me, Mayor, Councilmember, it's introduction tonight that gives us a week. We can update the All report right. before you act on the ordinance next week and address
Great.
Those issues.
Thank you, Don. Page 4. Is 7B.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mayor. Sorry. Turn the page here. We, on 7B, Council, we're going to ask that this be pulled off the agenda tonight. The applicant has asked for more time to review the development agreement.
Okay. That's 7 Bravo. 7B. 7 Bravo. Okay. So 7 Bravo is deleted. Page 5. Councilmember Higgins.
On item 8B, again, this is one of those annexation items, and I agree with your previous statement. But when we look at this lot, it's a really odd-shaped lot, and I know it's already gone through annexation. This question is actually just getting the proper zoning. But what your department look at, can you actually build a house on this peculiar-shaped lot? It doesn't meet our requirements for that, but it meets the overall size requirements.
Yes. Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, yes, that is one of the things that we look at as these annexations come through is how developable is the lot, and we'll raise some questions with the applicants and through that process and try to get some assurance that it is developable before we recommend it for annexation. But then, again, in this case, since it is already annexed, we're just moving forward with the process.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Page 6. Okay. Next item on the agenda, hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Any reports? Item 3, scheduled meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Reminder to the council, we do have a study session this Thursday at 7:30 a.m. And also reminder that the mayor's breakfast will be on Tuesday, July 8th at 7:30 a.m. And then later that afternoon, we'll have our final council meeting before the summer break, and that will be, again, July 8th study session. I'd ask that you look at the times for that because we anticipate having, I think, a couple of different, or at least one item in study session for July 8th before the council meeting. And then also I want to hand out to the council two things. One is a copy that Mayor sent out the council committees and the assignments of the council committees. Internally then what we've done, always done from the city manager's office, is then assigned individuals out of the city manager's office to be liaisons to those committees and to work with the committee chairs and the members. And so I've got those assignments here. I know there's probably one committee that's still being discussed that we will have to make that assignment at some time in the future. And then the second item will be an organizational chart for the city organization. We've had to make some adjustments with the retirement of Ms. Debbie Dollar, so you'll see some of the changes that have been made internally for that. So I'll just pass these out this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Move for adjournment.
Have a motion second. For adjournment. Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Thank you, Councilmember Fenter. We will then meet upstairs, 5:45.